Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, when we created this podcast with good, bad, and crazy martinis, we never specifically thought they would relate to the three different people on a debate stage, but it works out very well today, as a matter of fact. We have one who was good, one who was bad, and one who was absolutely crazy, and I don't think it takes an advanced degree to figure out which one goes where. But let's start with the good. Paul Ryan, unflappable in the midst of, well, martini number three. He was well-versed on foreign policy. It was largely on foreign policy, which is not his normal strong suit, but clearly he was ready for it. Here's a quick clip of Ryan talking about Benghazi, and then also an excerpt from his closing statement, which obviously dealt more with the economy.
This Benghazi issue would be a tragedy in and of itself, but unfortunately, it's indicative of a broader problem. And that is what we are watching on our TV screens is the unraveling of the Obama foreign policy, which is making the world more chaotic and us less safe. We're offering real reforms for a real recovery for every American. Mitt Romney, his experience, his ideas, his solutions, is uniquely qualified to get this job done. At a time when we have a jobs crisis in America, wouldn't it be nice to have a job creator in the White House? The choice is clear. A stagnant economy that promotes more government dependency, or a dynamic, growing economy that promotes opportunity and jobs.
Jim, he was focused, he was poised. He talked about Mitt Romney a whole lot more than Joe Biden said anything nice about Barack Obama, and the fact that he could stay focused when in many parts of the debate it was 2-on-1 and Joe Biden was doing everything short of sticking his tongue out at him. He was on message and I thought did pretty well.
One of the things that kind of I thought was the big hurdle for Paul Ryan was actually less, you know, the whole scaring seniors, is he going to, you know, cut Medicare or Medicaid or things like that. I think it was much more that, you know, he had to come across, you know, could Paul Ryan come across as a man who could be president at any given moment if Romney wins? In a crisis, heaven forbid, something happens to Mitt Romney, could Paul Ryan step in and be commander-in-chief? And look, there's probably no better example of crisis management than sitting next to Joe Biden for 9 minutes. He was next to a man going crazy, and he remained unbelievably unflappable. Ryan knew what he was doing. He came across as very well informed. The same word you heard for Romney in the presidential debate last week, prepared, kept coming up in people's responses to how Ryan came across in this one. I think there were some, and I talked about this a bit in the morning jolt, that Biden's personality was so over the top and bombastic and outlandish that at times it seemed easy to see if you have Ryan kind of fade into the background. It's all, you know, he's certainly not nearly as memorable as Biden was last night. Ryan did what he needed to do, and he definitely did no harm to the ticket, to the Romney-Ryan ticket, and that's fine. I think a lot of us kind of hope, you know, Ryan being the extremely knowledgeable guy that he is, and Biden being the, you know, blurting out the first thing that pops into his mind, we kind of hoped that there was going to be a drubbing, and it was not the drubbing we hoped for, but that was partially because it's tough for Ryan to come across and really get his points in when his opponent is having a nervous breakdown live on stage.
That's certainly true. And if you look at the post-debate polls, CBS said Biden won, but CNBC had a clear victory for Ryan. CNN had a narrower win for Ryan, and AP had a win for Ryan. The bad was Martha Raddatz. Jim and I just a couple of days ago said, this whole Obama attended her wedding in 1991 thing, that's kind of overblown. She does a relatively decent job as a national security reporter. Jim, I don't know about you. I'd like to apologize for that sentiment. Martha Raddatz, who has had that reputation going into the debate, she interjected repeatedly when Paul Ryan was making his points. She let Joe Biden jump in and interrupt whenever. She rarely challenged him, and it was pretty easy to see that she wasn't exactly impartially calling balls and strikes here.
I was pretty disappointed with her. Now, I do think the topic selection was good. I think that we needed a debate that was pretty heavy on foreign policy after it was unmentioned in the first debate. And I realized the first debate was meant to be all about the economy, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I felt like issues like, you know, Libya needed to come up there, and Iran. And so the debate selection was fine, but she definitely cut off the candidates more than I like to see. And it certainly seemed like she was cutting off Ryan a lot more than Biden, particularly when it seemed like Ryan was really, you know, starting to cook there. Secondly, as I mentioned, Biden was just out of control the whole night, and she was not interested in trying to assert control. No sense of, Mr. Vice President, you'll get a chance to respond in a second. I want to, you know, like,
Biden was complaining that he wasn't getting enough time all night. And judging by the clock at the bottom of the screen on CNN, Biden had at least 2 minutes more throughout the evening. Pretty disappointing by Martha Raddatz. I can understand the mentality after. First of all, I don't think Jim Lehrer was nearly as bad as, you know, a lot of folks seem to, particularly on the left, seem to complain about the first debate. I think it's a good idea if the candidates get a chance to talk to each other. I think it's, the moderators really should be kind of just, not necessarily ignored, but just kind of be in the background. They're not supposed to be the story. There were a lot of times where it felt like we were watching a three-way debate between Biden and Ryan and Raddatz. And I joke that I can't vote for the Lehrer-Raddatz ticket last night. And other people had observed that, Biden didn't do nearly as good a job of moderating the debate between Raddatz and Ryan. There are three things a moderator has to do: topics, balance, and then kind of almost be a traffic cop and make sure that the conversation keeps flowing. And I don't really think that she did either of the latter two too well. I think the topics were fine. I think the questions were good. I even understand the instinct of wanting to get follow-ups. The statement that Biden said about how he had no idea and nobody in the White House knew that the Benghazi, that the folks in Libya wanted more security, came because of a follow-up. So, I mean, there's a place for that. I just think that her timing on it was just awkward and frustrating and seemed to, work very much against Paul Ryan in these circumstances. I'm not really going to, say that this was a disastrous moderating, just a disappointing one considering how just what we've gotten used to. I still think that really worst-case scenario, though, Greg, let's keep in mind, with Stephanopoulos having moderated a Republican debate and asking about why they want to ban birth control, and with Diane Sawyer having done one while loopy on cold medicine, Raddatz had only the third worst moderating job by anybody from ABC News this cycle. So, for terrible moderating, the bar is set pretty high.
On to the crazy, and that, of course, is Joe Biden. I think Charles Krauthammer pretty much summed it up pretty well in saying that if you looked at the transcript, it was probably pretty even. Biden's tendency to jump in and constantly dominate the conversation probably made him out to be perhaps a little stronger on radio. But if you look on TV, which is, I have to assume, the vast majority of people, that's how they consume this debate, he makes Al Gore's sighing look like the model of restraint here with his constant Cheshire Cat smile, his ridiculous, not real laugh when very serious things were being discussed here. Here's a listen at how some of the undecideds, first on CNN and then on Fox, reacted to Joe Biden's antics.
Paul Ryan had a better command of the tax figures. The explanations that he gave, he seemed to be educating us, trying to teach us, until Joe Biden would bumble in and try to distort things by overriding him, talking, being a buffoon in general, and I was very disappointed in the vice president acting that way.
I thought it was a little disrespectful because he had plenty of time to respond, and I thought he jumped the gun. Shouldn't have done it.
I thought it was a huge mistake. He was very arrogant, and it sticks with me. I can't forget that.
Did you have an issue with it?
Yes, I did.
I thought it was disrespectful.
Frank Luntz conducting the focus group there for Fox. And so, Jim, Joe Biden never ceases to be entertaining. But when you walk away from the debate and say, do you really want this guy to be remaining a heartbeat away from the presidency? Hopefully some doubts are raised in the mind.
I have to disagree with you slightly, Greg. I'm not so sure the transcript makes Biden sound that much better. I mean, just one section here on when they're discussing the Iranian nuclear program, it says, ha, 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 ha. And then in response to Ryan, then Biden says, ha, 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 ha. I exaggerate slightly. His laughter is not listed in the transcript. It was weird. He was unhinged. I'm taken to calling him Vice President Bath Salts in this one. One of the things we partisans have a hard time doing, and we, those of us who are very passionate about our views and follow politics intensely, is trying to get into the mindset of people who are genuinely undecided, who don't really follow politics that much, who don't really think about these things all that. They don't think about politics any more than they have to. And trying to get into their heads and figure out how these people come across. And I just have this feeling that, there's been this perennial joke of Biden being everybody's, crazy half-drunk uncle at Thanksgiving. But this, if you were hanging around somebody like Biden like this and watching them, argue with someone, you'd probably inch away. My sense is he came across as a very unlikable guy. And this is, Biden did not have very high favorable ratings going into tonight, last night. I have a hard time believing independents or undecideds or anybody who's persuadable is going to come out of this and say, oh, I really like that guy Biden. But, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see. The instant polls had Ryan narrowly winning. The other thing we should keep in mind for this is that this may end up having a very small effect in the polls, because even though the audience for the first debate was huge, about 70 million people, I don't think people tune in as much for the vice presidential debate for obvious reasons. You know, they vote for presidents. They don't really vote for vice presidents. And then the second thing is that it's a 90 minutes. There are no commercial breaks. Generally, audiences fade as the debate goes on. Biden strikes me as a very off-putting personality, very hectoring. I said he didn't debate tonight so much as he heckled. Ryan, you know, as much as I like the guy, can come across as a little wonkish and a little too, you know, detailed and data-driven. So I would be surprised if ratings for this one were actually significantly smaller and that people kind of faded away from this and that this ended up being, you know, less of a Biden may have hurt himself by people who watched earlier, but I think very few people endured 90 minutes of that unless they absolutely had to.
Interestingly, apparently from the CNN, undecided lines that were going at the bottom of the screen, women in particular, very put off by Joe Biden's antics, and that's exactly what we heard from the undecided in those clips as well. Joe Biden also completely divorced from the truth as it came to what happened in Benghazi. Absolutely trying to excoriate Paul Ryan for supporting two wars that ran up the deficit while apparently ignoring the fact that he voted for both of those wars. And I think the point that you just made at the end there, Jim, is telling, because at the end of the focus group on Fox, Frank Luntz asked if anyone who was undecided going into it had made up their mind on who they were going to vote for, and not a single hand went up. So clearly the vice presidential debate is not going to be a critical factor in who wins come November 6th, but it's definitely, I don't think momentum necessarily lost in any way by the GOP ticket, and that's got to be a positive takeaway.
Exactly. In the end, things are going very well for the Romney-Ryan ticket, and so the aim was to not change any of that, and I don't think anything happened last night to deviate from any current momentum. I mean, you know, the tourniquet metaphor keeps coming up for the Biden campaign, the revealing statement there, the Biden campaign. Who's the president again, Greg?
Yeah, his name didn't come up much except when Paul Ryan was talking.
A bizarre dynamic to last night, and a hard time believing this is really going to turn into the grand turnaround that the Obama campaign is looking for.
Well,
isn't it a wonderful thing to hear, Greg, that the Obama campaign needs a turnaround?
So far, so good in these debates, and rest up for Tuesday, Jim. Here comes the town hall. So
here we go.
That'll be fun. Have a good weekend.
All right, looking forward to it, Greg. See you Monday.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We'll be back at you on Monday with the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.